On the Day of Atonement, it was one of the most, or the most important day for the children of Israel. On this day, all eyes were focused on the high priest. On this day, all eyes were focused on the offerings that the high priest was offering. That high priest and these offerings typified the one offering of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. And on that day, as they looked to him, they weren't looking and setting themselves up as kings and as judges to discern whether or not they would accept God. That wasn't the case. They were bowing, waiting, trusting God would accept them. You see, God doesn't offer us something in hopes that we will accept it. God has provided His offering in the person of His Son, and He accepts Him, and He accepts those who come to God in Him. Scriptures don't speak as men speak. Men speak of you accepting Jesus. He's not offering you anything. Scriptures speak of men receiving the gift of God. Something already finished and already done, that you simply, with open hands, nothing in your hands, bringing no price to God, you simply receive it. And on this Day of Atonement, all eyes were on the high priest in hopes that God would accept them. All right, we've looked at the high priest who did this work totally alone, who God chose, who laid aside his royal garments and went into the holiest of holies with that linen garment, the picture of Christ coming to this earth, taking on human flesh, coming in the humility of our flesh and working out the righteousness God required of his people, laying down his life at Calvary and entering into the presence of God into the holiest of holies, making full, complete reconciliation for the sin of all those that were given him. We beheld the sin offering, which was chosen of God, ordained of God, just in every way offered according to what God ordained, how God said it would be, how it should be done. And so it was with Christ. He chose Christ, who is our Lamb, the sin offering to God, who offered himself as a Lamb without spot and without blemish. He is that sin offering. He did everything in accordance with God's will. Everything in providence was ordained in accordance with what God had predetermined to be done, even the wrath of men. So that we can see that everything, just as they cast lots, God ordered them to cast lots. Everything, that was the disposing of the Lord. The Lord declaring, I'm choosing whom I will, who's going to be my sin offering. And that is His Son, the Lamb of God. Today, we're going to look at that second goat, which is the scapegoat. All right, look now at Leviticus 16, verse 8. The Lord said, and Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord. That was the sin offering we looked at last week. The other lot for the scapegoat. You've heard the saying, a scapegoat. He's looking for a scapegoat. This is where this phrase comes from, the scapegoat. Now, we're going to look at verse 21 and verse 22. First of all, what we're going to see in verse 21 is the imputation of the sins of God's people to Christ. We're going to see this typified, the imputation of the sin of God's people to Christ. Verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, pictured here by this high priest, he took all of the sins, the iniquities of the children of Israel, the true chosen spiritual children of Israel. He willingly took them all himself. And God put them all upon him, just as this high priest did here. And he, all the transgressions and all their sins was put upon Christ Jesus the Lord. Let me show you some scriptures, and I want you to turn to each of these scriptures this morning. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 4, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he, Christ Jesus the Lord, the scapegoat, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him. The Lord hath laid on him. Just as that high priest put his hand on the head of that goat and confessed all the sins of the children of Israel, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All right, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The all that is described here, us all, it's defined by what Christ accomplished. By what Christ accomplished. We'll see that in a moment. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ is the one who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All the sins of the all, whoever this all is, all their sins were put upon Christ. All the sins of all that is mentioned in this text were all put upon Christ Jesus. He was made sin. Made sin. That's the first point. Imputation of our sins to Christ. All right, let's look at the second point. Back in our text, Leviticus 16:22, and this tells us what was the result of what this scapegoat accomplished. Leviticus 16, verse 22. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. All right, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's see what the gospel declares to us that this scapegoat means. When he bore all these sins, all these iniquities, the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities. Not any left, not anything. All their iniquities were on this scapegoat. And he bare them all to a land not inhabited. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Where did they go? They've been completely removed, completely put out of sight, completely taken care of by the scapegoat, completely taken away by Christ Jesus the Lord. They're gone. Now you keep bear in mind here now, the children are sitting there looking to see, will God accept us in this Lamb? Will he accept us? Not will we accept him, will he accept us? And all of this was done. All of this was accomplished before as yet the high priest came out to the people and informed the people, God has accepted you. It was all done beforehand. It was done and completely accomplished for somebody by God, by his Lamb, by Christ Jesus, before he ever came to the people for whom it was accomplished and said, it's accomplished. It's done. And that's what God teaches us when he comes in the spirit of his grace through this word of the gospel. And he has entered into the heart of a sinner whenever he turns everything right side up. And we no longer are ashamed of our sin. The reason we're ashamed of the evidence we're ashamed of our sin is we won't confess my will is absolutely, utterly in bondage and helpless to save me. We won't confess. We're ashamed to say that till God comes. We will not say I'm absolutely, utterly in need of God's high priest, of God's sin offering, of God's scapegoat to completely, totally remove my sin. We're ashamed to confess that. We will not confess salvation is absolutely, totally, always, and forever of the Lord alone. And he gives it to whomsoever he will. We will not confess that, because if we do, we have to confess our nothingness. Until God comes and reveals what Christ has accomplished, what he has accomplished in his Son, we're ashamed of our sin, we're ashamed to say what we are, and we're ashamed to confess that all glory belongs to God. We won't do it. This is our rebellion. This is what sin did to us. This is where sin left us. It left us proud. It left us kings. It made us think in our minds we're kings and princes and judges, and we have a right to accept or reject. And it all hinges on our acceptance or our rejection. Until God comes in and turns things right side up and makes us to see you're absolutely dependent upon God accepting you. And if he does, it's going to be because he chose to do so. He sent forth his high priest, his lamb, his scapegoat to accomplish the work that's required in order for him to justly in a holy manner accept you. And then he comes forth to everyone for whom that is accomplished, and he reveals by giving them a new nature and a new heart, being born again of the Spirit of God. That old fleshly man of Adam profits you absolutely nothing. And he makes you to behold in spirit and in truth what Christ has accomplished. And then all those works and all that will and all that self-effort you've been hanging on to, you drop it, and your hands become empty. And that's when God causes us to receive an absolutely fully accomplished free gift that he accomplished. And now you're ashamed of yourself. You're ashamed of that sinful will. You're ashamed of that desire to have preeminence. You're ashamed of everything you are. And now you want God to have all the glory. That's the difference. That's the difference. We stop saying, I will, I will, I will. God has, God shall, God will. That's right. All right, let's see what he reveals to us when he regenerates us and calls us by his grace. When this high priest came out, what do we see typified that they were made to understand? This is what every redeemed child of God is made to understand when Christ enters into the heart. First of all, Hebrews 10:14. We're made to see that the guilt of our sin has been put away by Christ himself. Look at Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected. You didn't. Your receiving this gift didn't do anything. It was already done. It was already done. Yeah, I've used this illustration for you before. When you get a birthday gift, somebody went and they chose that gift, they purchased that gift, they paid everything that was required of that gift, they wrapped that gift, they brought that gift to you, and they handed that gift to you, and all you did was open up your hand and receive it. That's salvation. That's the gift of God. The gift of God. And you discover that by one offering, Christ hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Your guilt is gone. Here's the second. Hold your place there in Hebrews 10:14. Look at Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. Here's the second thing God makes you to behold. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. All the punishment due to you. Not only is your guilt gone, all the punishment that was due to you, all the condemnation that was due to you, is gone. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How'd they get there? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, of God are you in Christ Jesus. It says here, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How did you start walking after the Spirit? Paul said, of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And the reason it's that way is that no flesh should glory in his presence. None. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God did all this. God did all this. He condemned sin in his flesh. He was made sin and condemned of God himself, and he bore the condemnation that for as many as God gave him. He bore their condemnation. All right, here's the third thing. Your guilt's gone. That's what God makes manifest, because Christ took this. He was made sin, and he perfected his people forever. You know that your punishment's gone because Christ condemned sin in his own flesh. He was made a curse for his people. And here's the third thing. Oh, glorious good news. Now, look at Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. This is the third thing he makes you to know. God will not remember your sin ever again. Not any of it. Past, present, or future. He will not remember it. Look here. Jeremiah 50 verse 20. In those days... That's in the day Christ came and accomplished what we're talking about here. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for. The accuser of the brethren is seeking for it continually. Satan is seeking for it continually. Men who preach man's way, man's will, man's works are seeking for it constantly. It'll be sought for, and there shall be none. In the sins of Judah... And they shall not be found. Why not? For I will pardon them whom I reserve. Whom I reserve. When did he reserve them? Before the world began. They've always been in Christ. Christ put the sin away, took it away into a land not inhabited. And God said, and I will pardon them whom I reserve. Their sin won't be found. All right, let me show you a couple of more verses. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Verse 12. Well, let's start at verse 11. Now, verse 10. He hath not dwelt with us after our sins. This is what you're going to discover if God makes this revelation in your heart. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You know, as far as I know, we haven't yet, in all our exploration into space, we haven't come to the end of it yet, have we? You won't ever come to the end of God's mercy either. Ever. Look at this. As far as the east is from the west. If you go east today, you strike out traveling east, you know what you'll never find? west. And if you strike out traveling west, you know what you'll never find? East. Just won't. If you go north, eventually you're going to start going south. If you go south, eventually you're going to start going north. If you go east, you're never going to start going west. Now listen, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Who did it? Well, my exercising my will and accepting this Jesus that the preacher begged me to accept, that's what did it. Let's read that again. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The faith God gives lays hold of him who has justified and continually justifieth the ungodly. That's what faith does. All right, one last verse, Hebrews 10:15. What's it going to take to make us know all this? What's it going to take for us to understand this? Hebrews 10:15. And to rest here. To rest here. Hebrews 10:15. Whereof these things we've been talking about. This guilt's put away. Condemnation's put away. God won't remember the sins anymore. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. God has declared it. God the Father, God the Son has declared it. In the person of Christ Jesus it's been declared. In His Word it's been declared. Throughout all the ages, throughout all the witnesses of God's saints that have been saved, it's been declared. I'm declaring it to you now. You're compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. But here's what it's going to take right here. The Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. He got to enter in. God's got to speak to the heart that He's made new. For after that He said before, this is what He promised way back there, and He makes it apparent, salvation's by promise. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. What are these laws? It's this gospel I've been declaring to you. It's all these great and precious promises that I'm declaring to you. These are His laws. This is what He said. This is what He's promised. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Not on tablets graven with stone, not in creeds and confessions and those things, not in all our notes and all, in the heart He's going to write it. Then you'll know it. And this is what He declares to you. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And that's what will give you the boldness, the liberty, the right, the privilege to enter into God's presence, having your conscience purged, the inner man purged, your body's washed with pure water, that tabernacle, that blood applied to the tabernacle, to come to God and to thank Him and offer the calves of your lips, the sacrifices of praise unto God, and even that will be received by God as perfectly holy, without sin at all, even though sin's mixed with it, without any sin at all, because the blood also was put on the altar, and Christ is our altar, and it's in His one body that He receives each of our bodies individually, perfect and holy and acceptable unto God. That's how God's going to accept you. That's how He's going to accept you. If He does. Christ Jesus finished this work. And He has made as many as God gave Him accepted of God. He has. And God freely gives His children faith. Witnessing this in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He gives us faith to believe and to rest in Christ Jesus, who we are persuaded has done everything that is required by God for our complete and total acceptance with God. And we rest in Him. He's all our hope and all our stay. I pray today, this is my prayer for you today, that God would bear witness of this in your inner man. Purge your conscience and give you this gift of faith that you might let go of everything else and freely receive this free, perfect gift that He accomplished. That's my prayer for you. Amen.